Hello.
It's the motherfucking Millennial Miha podcast.
Welcome back to the Millennial Miha podcast. We are fashionably late today with the one, the only, Eliseo Equihua. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. Hi, bebe. Hi,
Welcome back. Dude, we are, like, I called it fashionably late because...
That's what we do.
Honey, we were supposed to, both of us were supposed to be here at 2:30. It's 3:30 now, 3:35 now. And by the grace of God, we are back on the microphone. And it's been a while for me. This is, I've been, you know when they say you got to get back on the bike? Mm-hmm. That's like what I've been doing. But for me, when I fall off the bike, like I don't just fall off, like the whole bike just like falls apart. So then I have to spend time. Yes. Okay. So then I have to spend time actually rebuilding the bike before I can get back on it. You know, like emotionally, spiritually, all of those things.
I feel that.
And so.
And you come back stronger.
Yes. And it's been a while since I've been, the last person I interviewed was, shout out to Susie Plasencia of Umo. A very good cannabis brand. Have you tried yet?
I haven't.
Oh, actually. Wow. It's available right here at La Yerba Buena.
Yeah. Dispensary?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So right here in Boyle Heights. So go and check that out. Shout out to Umo. It's been a while since I've been back on here, but I'm back and I'm ready to, and you know, it was interesting because I responded to one of Eliseo's many, you know, I don't even know what I responded to. But I think it was probably your outfit because it's always your outfit or just your serving face. And it's just like too hot to handle. So I just responded and he was like, let's get back on a podcast. And I'm like, you know what? That might have been the push I needed. So thank you for this.
No, thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. And I to prepare on the way here, I was listening to our last podcast together, which was at the other studio in Culver City.
Yeah.
And you taught me all about your last name and just your background. And you shared a lot about your travels and the things you learned from that. And also, we didn't get too much into modeling, though. Because I had said on the last podcast, I feel like it's implied you could just look at your Instagram and see how successful you are. And I wanted to get to know the person that was underneath that.
But I think this time,
we could talk a little bit more about that. Because I know you've been making some big moves. And it's so inspiring to see you win. Like, that's something that I really, truly appreciate is watching you win. Oh. So tell us a bit about your most recent wins. What's been going on in your world?
First of all, I want to say thank you because just like, how do I put it? I have been trying for a really long time to get somewhere to accomplish all the things I've wanted to do. And when you finally start working in the motions and you start doing what you want to do and you're doing it, when you really love it, I think you just really just do it because you love it and you don't focus on anything else. And then when I run into people and when I run into friends who like vocalize their admiration about the things I'm doing, it just gives it a whole nother level of just like, is this really real? You know?
Yeah.
When you say that and when people say those things, like, you know, that they're very proud and inspired, it really does mean a lot to me. Like it really does mean a lot to me. So thank you.
You're welcome.
I just got back from Mexico City. I can't talk about what that is though, because you know, girl, NDA is.
Wait. So you went to Mexico City. Uh-huh. So in the last podcast, I had shared that was gonna be my first trip.
Oh, that's right.
And you said you hadn't been there yet. Uh-huh. So tell me about your trip. Mine, girl. It was just like. My heart came back so full. I got to leave my dad's ashes at the pyramid.
Oh, I love
that. I just had such like a beautiful experience with my friend and we just, it was like a whole new door opened up for me. I was like, this is now possible. Like I'm going to keep doing this. Like I learned and grew so much from that, which you said would happen. So tell me about your trip to Mexico.
Oh, I love that. No, yeah. I was definitely Princess Jasmine, you know, on the carpet, a whole new world.
Oh my God, with the ponytail?
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. The same green outfit. No, I'm just kidding.
Almost. You have to see. First of all, let's describe this. We have to describe the fit because he pulled up in a full aqua moment. Okay. You know,
head to toe. The 90s are back, apparently.
Back and better than ever.
You know, a little sway aqua moment.
Yes.
and then these Doc Martens that I bought. I didn't get them for...
They're white. They're whiter than any white shoe you've ever seen.
Thank you. I wore them all over Mexico City. So, you know, I had to like dust them off a little bit when I came here.
For sure.
But yeah, that trip was a great time. When I found out that I was like going to be confirmed for it, I couldn't really contain myself. I was so excited. And then I was with my mom in the car and I was getting something because you know how, I don't know if you know, but I drive a truck. So I drive a pickup truck, a Tacoma. And so I was getting something from the back of the truck, like the bed. And then that's when they called me. And so I answered. And then I was like, oh my God. And then I went and told my mom in the car. And
this
was...
is like a really big thing. And okay, if you know so far this career that we've seen, that must mean it's really big. Because to me, if you've already done some big shit in my eyes. So I'm like, how much bigger can it get? That is so exciting.
Oh yeah, Noah, I'm really excited about this trip. Like, I mean, about this thing that I did. This project that I did. Yeah, there you go. But the trip was so much fun. When I found out that I was confirmed, I went and told my mom right away. And then I was like, do you guys want to go? Like, you and my dad. And my brother isn't working right now at the time. He's like, he quit his job and he's just going, like, he's taking time for himself. So I was like, do you and Chris and my dad want to go? And they said, yeah.
So you brought family. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I got them a hotel stay where I was staying at. And my brother stayed with me in my room. And when I was over there filming or doing what I had to do, then I would come back and we would just go and explore the city or have dinner when it would, depends on how late I got. But I had a great time. And then at least I got to see something that I was so excited about was El Ángel de la Independencia.
Oh, in the middle because of all the novelas, huh?
Yeah. That's really what I talk about.
That's how I recognized it from. I was like, yeah, this is that.
Like,
this fucking gringa. Okay.
Literally me, like I recorded myself and I'm just like, I'm here, because I couldn't believe it, you know. I used to sit with my mom and watch them from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. and we would just sit there and watch all three novelas back to back. And you know how they would always post that little, the top of the angel, like B-roll of it, just like, and then next scene, and somebody's getting slapped, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like the transition scene, so it's so iconic.
Yeah, like, you know that monument. So it was cute too. The hotel I stayed at was right across from it. So it was like the hotel.
Those are nice. That's a nice like...
little area. Yeah, it was a really nice area called Reforma. Reforma. And so the hotel I stayed at was right in front of... that monument was right in front of us. You know, you could see it through the windows. And it was just like a great experience. And when I saw it, so I got there before my mom and dad and my brother, when we finally got to see each other, it was at like dinner time. So we went and saw the Angel at night together for the first time, and it was such a cute thing. Like, I was just like, oh my God, I'm here.
Such a moment. And it was because of you, you know?
No, I don't know about it. Well, yeah, I guess so.
Well, yeah, the whole purpose of the trip, and then you decided to incorporate your family, like, which is really special. Yeah. Did you make it over to Casa Azul at all?
No, I didn't get to do that. So that just means I have to go back again.
Next time for sure. Oh, Coyoacan is such a cute little city.
I heard.
It's so cute. And the experience of seeing her belongings, because I don't know, I think for me it's like Frida's here, we're in LA, so she's on t-shirts and she's at like Placito Olvera and like, you know, she's an idea more. And then seeing her belongings, seeing her nail polish was like really, I don't know what that did for me, but it was just like it made her a human in a way where I'm like, I'm in her house, you know,
she's real. She's not,
and
just
I felt
this.
Her spirit there, and it was this like such an experience that I'm like, wow, I didn't know that I could, I don't know, like, I guess feel other people's presence like that. Like, I just felt her so strong, and I just like felt so grateful. I'm sitting in the courtyard like, wow. And in some way, shape or form, we're related, you know, like it, like we come from the same, you know, ethnic background, whatever it is. She's actually from Mexico, but it's like, what a privilege to even have any ties to someone as extraordinary as her. And her story was brought to life for me in a way where, yeah, like we know the story, we've seen the movie, we, you know, we probably have books or everything, but it's just different going there. So oh my gosh, highly suggest for every every Latina, especially Mexican women, yes. Chicanas, you know, to connect with a part of your roots. Yes, mm-hmm. A part of your roots in such a strong, powerful way.
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm very excited to go back and see, you know, Frida's house and all those other things. My brother and my parents, they went to, like, a highlight for them was going to El Castillo de Chapultepec.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was stunning. I mean, I only saw photos of what they saw, but I've known the story for a really long time. And it's just, that was something I was like, fuck, I wish, sorry, I don't know if I could cuss.
But please do.
I was like, fuck, I wish I would have gone to that. But, I mean, I can go again another time.
Yeah.
But
we went to the Tolantongo, to the...
I love that name.
What are the damn things called with the...
Xochimilco?
No. Oh, I didn't go to that. No? Did you?
No.
You guys didn't go either? Okay. No. And then when we go together, we'll have to go yeah. there. And we'll go back to Casa Azul. No, they're the grutas.
Oh, okay.
De Tolantongo. They're the natural hot springs. Oh my God. It was beautiful. It was just like the water's like...
Oh, grutas, grottos. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was like being in like a mineral bath. Because the water was so, and then it was hot. The water was hot. Uh-huh. And then we went in like these caves and we went, because we had paid, which was the best idea we had, was to pay tour guide to go to take us to like that place. And then we went to the pyramids with a tour guide. So then we didn't have to worry about a lot of things, you know, and we got history, which I love. Like, I'm obsessed with mm-hmm. history. And so to be able to, and we had some badass lady that was our tour guide too. Like, she was like she reminded me of like Indiana Jones, but like Mexicana. Yes. Like, she was just dope, but she had like the whole outfit on too, like the boots and like the whole khaki fit, and she was just like so knowledgeable. And so I was like, we're in good hands, you know. It was cool.
Did she have a whip?
You know, maybe in her backpack, because she had everything in that backpack. But yeah, so aside from your trip to Mexico, where you had like a very special project, what else have where else has modeling taken you since we last spoke?
Since we spoke, I've done a few things,
huh? A lot of things, yeah.
Well, since we spoke, I think all the stuff had already came out. Like, we had already filmed after June, right? So all the mm-hmm. like,
I think you're born and raised, and you're what was that other stuff you did? That was a while ago.
That
but
was
the,
a while ago.
Yeah,
that was like beginning stuff.
Fashion 21, Calvin Klein.
Oh yeah, there you go.
Okay, not fashion. So, Forever 21.
Forever 21, Calvin yeah. Klein. Who else?
Which is like, it's not, he wasn't just modeling the clothes. He's like on the yeah. Calvin Klein shirt. Like, that is so cool. That Tell about crazy. That a little bit.
Okay, well, see, that's a cute story. Yeah. Okay, let's start with the photo. So it all started because I hit up a photographer to shoot. And I was like, you know, like basically how I hit up every other one. I was like, hey, I have all these ideas. My name's so-and-so. This is what I do. This is who I am. And why I do it. And I have all these ideas and I have all these clothes. Let's just shoot. And they're usually down.
Yeah.
And so with that particular shoot, all I really did was I really just ran out of ideas at that time. I was going through so much that I was like, well, what the fuck can I do for this shoot? I just wanted to be like something different than what I had already done.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just thought, like, for some reason, the flower arrangements came in my head. And I know how to do flower arrangements, and so does my brother and my sisters, but because my mom used to own a gift shop, and mm-hmm. she decorated quinceañeras and mm-hmm. weddings. So she taught all of us how to do all these things. And so that's how I learned how to do flower arrangements. And I was like, let me just put these fucking flowers on my head. So I went.
Yeah. And you did. And you really did.
So I went and I bought like all kinds of like sponges that you put the flowers uh-huh. in, and I just hung it around my head. And you know what? Okay, so this is where it gets kind of like mystical, I guess, in a way. So I just thought of that. Like, I was like, okay, let me just pick out these flowers that I like, and let me just do this thing and put it over my head. And that was it. That was all I thought of doing. Then the photographer had a crinolina, like those crinoline things that they put under the dresses to make mm-hmm. them fluff up once I got there. And we just played around with it. She was like, oh, I have this. She was like, want to try it on? I was like, okay, bitch, I'll throw on this fucking skirt. Why not? And to me, it didn't seem like that far off too, because again, my mom used to have like a quinceañera
yeah.
wedding thing. So
right there in Lincoln Heights, right?
Yeah, at the mini mall. So she had a shop where she sold those dresses. So I was very familiar with those things. I didn't know what they are for and, you know, when do you use them. So I was like, fuck it, I'll throw it on. I've played with it before when nobody was watching anyway. So might as well. Yeah. So I threw it on and then, so that photo came about. And we were just playing, having fun with it. Like, literally, that's just how all the shoots I do go. Like, we're just like, you know, this is what we have. Let's just play with it. Okay, let's stand against this wall. This looks interesting. Okay, let's do that. You know, bury that. And so those photos were taken. They were received really well, like, in, like, the LGBT community. And then I get a message, and it's the photographer, and she's like, and they're like, hey, Calvin Klein is asking if they could use our photos for their Pride campaign next year. Would you be down? And I was like, sure. What? Like, what do you mean? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how those pictures came about. But it was, oh, so the reason why it gets crazy or like mystical is because when I was doing those flower arrangements, I remember I needed something to tie them together. Because they were like different pieces of like sponges that were like connected. And I didn't have any fucking rope. So I just remember going into my room and I had been given some Doc Martin shoes for Pride for a campaign that I did. And they had given me like these rainbow shoelaces.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember being like grabbing them right away with like just like something. Like I felt like I had to grab them. And I started tying the whole thing together with these like rainbow fucking shoelaces, and then the photos ended up being for Pride. A Pride campaign.
I like how you just do things. Like I remember you were explaining on the last podcast, like when you were talking about coming out to your parents, and you were saying something in your head just told me if I don't tell them by my birthday, then I'm gonna miss out on something.
Yeah.
That's for me. Like you seem to just have these thoughts or these impulses and you just listen to yourself, and that's like such a valuable, I don't know if it's a skill or it's just a valuable practice to have, to truly just like listen to your intuition and trust it and just go.
Oh, 100%.
And look where it led you.
Yeah. And you know, that's funny that we're even talking about modeling and that, because when I signed with my agency, I signed in December 13th last year. And I just signed with them really because I had been getting different offers from other agencies. And then I was also just like, do I really want to sign or do I want to stay independent like how I've been doing? But then I don't know, for some reason, towards the end of the year last year, I felt something kept telling me like, if you don't sign, something won't happen. Like things won't happen. And again, I just like, at that time I was also talking really well with my agent who I have now, Katie. And I met her through a photographer friend. He used to shoot her models back in Texas. They're both from Texas. And she just was, the way we were talking and the negotiations were really good with her. I also felt, I paid attention to the things she was saying. Like she was telling me about how basically she's on a hustle right now too, with her own circumstances. So that made me feel like, well, she's like-minded like me. Like she's trying to figure it out. Like she's a go-getter, you know? So that's somebody good to have on your corner because they understand the hustle. You know what I mean? and so like, literally something was like in me, and it's always been like a recurring thought of just like whenever I have a strong feeling, I just go with it.
Yeah,
I have to, you know, and that's really what's pulled me through a lot of things in life. And also like not even just with me, like with my mom too. Like she never, like my mom before she started her own businesses, she was a housewife, and before that she had a job like in the school district as a secretary, like,
yeah.
And then, but she never really liked being a housewife either. She like loved doing things with her hands and creating and being like some out of the house. She was a great housewife as in when she had to be, like she cooked and did all those things, and she was a really good cook. And like the reason why Like, she's known for her cooking. The reason why they have a nonprofit, it's basically funded because of my mom's cooking.
Like, oh, yeah. You told me about that.
Yeah. So, like, my mom's, like, to when me, she's like a
superhero. When someone passed away from...
Yeah. So they have, my mom and dad have a nonprofit called Club Mi Querido San Juan. San Juan is the pueblo where my dad's from. And basically, like, long story short, there used to be a boy that worked in one of my aunt's stores. My aunt has, like, one of those, you know, in Mexico, they have those little, like, stores that sell all kinds of chingaderias. Like, you can go in there and find, like, anything. Like, you can find food. You could even find, like, scissors and paper and all those mm-hmm. things. In different parts of Mexico, they'll call them different things, but where my dad's from, they call them misceláneas, like miscellaneous. Mm-hmm. One of my aunts has one of them has a store like that, and she had a boy that worked there. And one day he just stopped going to work when we were there vacationing over there for 2 weeks, like we do usually, like every year we would go growing up, during May. And so 1 year he wasn't there during work, and we figured out why. It was because his mom was diabetic, and she hadn't ate for 4 days. Mm. And so she passed. So the food that they would get, or whatever they would get to get food, it was for her kids. And so after 4 days, her body couldn't take it. When you're diabetic, you have to eat at a certain time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Your blood sugar will go too low. Uh-huh. You go into diabetic shock and then die. Then,
yeah, exactly. So she passed away, and my mom was like really taken aback by it, and she sat me down in my aunt's room, because when we would go over there, she would have us stay in like her nice ass room with the AC and all those things, you know.
Yeah.
So we were sitting down, and she was like, she was telling me what happened, and then she's like, I can't believe that in 2014 there's still people dying of hunger in your dad's pueblo. Like, that's crazy. Like, we have to do something. And so they did that, and the way they fund it, it's a full nonprofit. They don't make anything off of it. So they were doing it this way before. So they would sell food that is like recipes that my mom learned from my grandma and from her friends that she met when she married my dad. And it's just Mexican food from like Michoacán and Nayarit. That's how they fund it. They sell food. They used to do it at a park, and then the park got shot up.
Oh, no.
So they don't do it no more at the parks anymore. So now whenever they fundraise, they usually just do it at...
You said they did at Rose Hills Park, right?
Uh-huh, exactly. They used to do it there, and now they don't do it no more.
Yeah.
So now whenever they do sell, they sell at like the Nayarita Feria, which is like this huge festival for everybody who's from Nayarit that they have at the Pico Rivera Sports Arena. And that's how they fund their...
Man, club. So your mom is not somebody who just sits down and she's active, and she's
very much,
I mean, she's an entrepreneur, she's an activist, she's, you know, she seems like she was a beauty queen, like, you know, like, hello. So she's must be somebody who inspires you a lot.
Oh, 100%. Like, yeah. And not just me, like, because it's funny, because when I was talking to my mom about it today in the morning, I was like, oh, I'm going to, because you know how I take care of her and my dad, I was telling her, like, oh, I'm going to come and do the podcast again with my friend Angie. And she was like, oh, she's like, which? And then I told her, like, I had to remind her who you were.
Did she listen to the podcast that you did last time?
Because she was like, which one is she? Like, is she this one or the ones, you know, because I did it. Mm-hmm. I think I'd done like three. And then I told her who you were. And then she was like, and she wants to have, she wanted to have you once before. Like,
yeah, remember? I still do.
But then like things happened when we both got busy and all those things. And she was like, hey, what do they even want to talk about me? And I'm just like, no, like, she has so many stories. Like, for instance, my mom, she grew up here, literally on this street, down the street from here.
We're live from Boyle Heights right now at Espacio 1839. Shout out.
We're on La Primera and Soto over here. And so anyway, so my mom grew up here down the street. And like, if you were to ask her stories of her growing up here and like this, when she went to Lincoln High School, and she tells me like, she was always really fashionable and she made her own clothes too.
Mm-hmm.
And she told me like how, like if you ask her stories, they're just like the funniest stories, but they're true.
Yeah.
Like when she, don't ever ask her about a miniskirt, because then she'll tell you about how she brought it back to East LA.
She's the one.
In the 80s?
who could verify that she's not? If she says she's the one, she's the one.
No, and then the story, like, she's like, when she tells you the story, it's super LA, like, how it happened. Because she used to work at, in Broadway right here in downtown, and there used to be a department store called Newberry's right there where Paredes is now.
Oh, Fallas. And they took it away.
And they took it away. But that used to be a department store that like every, like all the Chicanos and anybody like on this side used to go, and that was like their nice place to shop, you know? I remember that my mom told me they used to have like photo booths there and all those things. Anyway, she used to work there, and she said that one time she was going to go to a dance in high school. And I feel bad kind of telling the story, but I'll give it a quick one.
Wait, why? Why do you feel bad?
Well, just because if it were to happen where she comes on.
Oh, you want show, her to tell
I
it.
I want to tell, but okay. I'll give it. The way she says
I'm
it,
I'm sure she'll
better.
Tell it way better than you anyway. So she'll tell it again.
So she was working there. She was working there at this department store, and she walked from that place, which is like a block up, to Grand Central, which is right there. And she said there used to be a clothing store there, like in between, like the, you know how it's always been food for a while
at Grand Central Market.
There used to be a clothing store inside there, and she said that she went in there and just like picked up, she started looking at the clothes, and she saw that she could afford it too. And she bought herself a little mini skirt. She said that like it had like, it was just a panel, and then it had like pleats. It kind of sounds like that fucking Prada skirt that all the girls were wearing for a really long time recently.
Like the tennis skirt?
Yeah, like it sounds like that. You know how like that slutty little, that like that short little Prada skirt that everybody wears? It's like a panel and then and just then, like pleats.
Yeah, like a like almost like a cheerleader skirt or tennis skirt kind of like.
That, and she said she bought that with a black, it was black. And then she said she bought some really pretty red shirt that had like black piping. And she said she bought, you grew up here, so you're familiar with those shoes, the China shoes. You remember those?
Yeah.
The flats?
She said, little just chanclas.
Yeah. And then they had like little spark, like little florecitas or whatever. Yeah.
Oh my God. I used to have those in like every color.
Yeah.
They came back in high school.
Yeah, they did. They came back for a while, I remember. But my mom said that those were barely coming in the 80s here in LA, like in 80, like late 70s, early 80s. That's when my mom went to school. When she was like a teenager, and so she bought that outfit, and she said that when she wore that, she's like, I'm just gonna wear this. She's like, I don't feel like wearing fucking heels to the school dance, like I'm tired, I've been working. So she went to the school dance, and she went with this boy who was gay but didn't like admit it. And in the 80s at that time, they would still chase guys and beat them up, like you know, for being gay. She said she went with this boy who everyone knew was, but he didn't really say it. And so she was like one of the girls that used to like hang out with him and protect him, things like that. And so they went to the dance. She said when she walked in, everybody was staring at her. She's like,
she just said, bitch, I'm the main character of the whole East LA.
Yeah, she said everybody was staring at me. She's like, everybody. She's like, all the girls were looking at me, like all the it girls that thought they were like the cool girls. She's like, they were looking at me up and down, and just, they wouldn't even like try to hide it. She said they were just looking at me up and down when I passed them. And she'd be like, I didn't care. She's like, I just kept dancing the whole time. She said, so that happened on a Friday. She's like, when we went back to school on Monday, everybody was wearing that. Yeah, wow. That outfit. All the girls had it. She's like, and they even had
your
it
mom
in
was
the
like
same
Regina
color.
George.
Probably. No, but yeah, she really just like little stories like that that are so LA, and she doesn't even realize that. She's like, yeah. Oh, I was over here at
she
work.
She doesn't realize how iconic she is. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And like the stuff she tells me too, how she used to, so they lived here across the street from what's now the high school, but before it used to be Projects, the Aliso Projects. And so they used to live right across from them. And my dad lived in Lincoln Heights, and the stuff she was like, little things she tells me, I'm just like, oh my God, just, that's just like the cutest thing to think. My mom's like, oh yeah. She's like, I used to put on my roller skates and rollerblade from where I lived all the way to where your dad was.
How cute.
I'm just like, imagine seeing this really tall beauty queen Chicana rollerblading through East LA. Like, oh my God, I would gag if I saw that now.
Dude, you need to do a photo shoot, like with that as the theme.
Right? Like that's a whole like, and that's what I'm telling you. My mom gives me so much, and like my family, they give me so much, like,
yeah,
without them even knowing. Yeah,
yeah, content, just like, yeah, where we draw inspiration from. I feel the same way about my dad. Like when I tell stories about him telling me stories, like I have just this, I don't know, this warm like pride. Like I feel so grateful to have the dad that I had. Just the same way you feel grateful to have the mom that you had, and their influence is like, I would be a different person if I didn't have my, you know, like I would be a different a different human in general, but also I wouldn't have the soul that I have. And mm-hmm. I feel that that anchors me to this city.
Yeah.
And it grounds me. And mm-hmm. I know what you mean about feeling that those old timers, they're like, you know, they're going extinct. We have to like just preserve as much yeah. as we can of their stories exactly. and their style mm-hmm. and their music. And their, especially their stories, though, for sure.
The way they speak, a lot of the way my mom talks and my uncles, the way they speak too, is very like Chicano, and they yeah. don't even know it. You know yeah. what I mean? Like, and it's the cutest. Like for me, I love all that.
Yeah.
Like I'm always getting like, whenever people try to get to know me, they always ask me like, if I would live anywhere else, because I'm so LA, and it's like apparent when you meet me too. Like you can't just like I can't even hide it. You know, even if I wanted to.
Mm-hmm.
And I always tell them, no, like, I can't. Like, I LA has so much for me that I can't see myself living anywhere else. And I've traveled mm-hmm. and I've lived for periods of time at certain places, and I still can't. Like, it just, LA is like home, and it's where, you know, I was raised and where yeah, I'm gonna.
Where your roots are.
Yeah. And yeah. like, another thing too, it's like, what I get in LA, I can't get anywhere else. Even if New York or like
they have their own versions of what we're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, exactly. You know? They have their version of what home is to them in mm-hmm. in the big city. But here in LA, like I can't, like what I love is like walking into like the mom and pop shops, and then the owner is either a man or a woman, and they talk to you with mijo. You know, mm-hmm. that's how they talk to you, or
yeah.
joven, or you know, like you can't get that anywhere else. Like, I mean, obviously in Mexico you can get that too, but here it's just like, this is
yeah.
your city, your stomping grounds, you know? And yeah. like that sense of community is really hard to replace. Mm-hmm. Like, if anything, you can't. Yeah. I think you can.
Yeah, for sure. I do have this like definite deep sense of nostalgia to old East LA too, mm-hmm. like just because of the story that my dad would tell me. And then the people I grew up around, Lowriders and like Clover and this subculture that, you know, and then they'll try to portray East LA in the movies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like so basic. Like it's yeah. it's just such the bare minimum of stereotypes that they
like, give
stick
us
to.
Like
the, no dimension.
Yeah, like we're just savages who all we think about is fighting and fucking.
Yeah.
Come you know on. What I mean? Like, yeah. like, you know, if you watch all those movies, it's like, you know, with the ones I'm talking about, like American Me, Blood and Blood Out, like they're great. They do tell the story.
They tell a story. They yeah. don't tell the story.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, those movies were still made by white people, mm-hmm. whether it's the producer or the person who had the last say of mm-hmm. what they wanted on the screen.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And you can tell was white people because mm-hmm. there's a very narrow cast that they will allow mm-hmm. us to be seen in, and it shows just like every single time. And all of the recent shows that have been canceled, the Latino show, like Gordita Chronicles,
mm-hmm.
and they canceled that on HBO, and then don't even get me started, Gentified.
Yeah,
they canceled these shows, and it's like what is it? You literally have money for the British baking show or whatever to put it on Netflix, but something that where actual people feel uplifted and represented, like it actually means something. Do you think anyone is gonna cry if the baking show goes off the air? You know,
it's like 30 more.
I know.
On the roster.
So it's like you guys. They'll justify it by the ratings or whatever but then they'll keep these shows that are just like so that don't have the same impact. You know, and that's really unfortunate to me. Like, it's so whack. So Hollywood, get it together.
Yeah,
get it together.
Also start with the writers you have writing for these shows, and you can't try to give some the reason why these shows aren't sticking or they don't want, I don't know, they're not putting real people who live these things in the rooms where they need to be to when they're creating these shows, because if something's real and authentic and you know, it speaks to people, you don't have to force it. You just yeah. have to really just do it, you know? And if it's really authentic, it'll mm-hmm. resonate with people and it'll stand the test of time. I think a lot of times, like I think in the community, like the Latino community, we need to really try and like see who's really about the stuff that they say, and just, you know what I mean? Because it gets kind of dangerous when you see people who are trying to get somewhere off the backs of a real, like biting off of real people who are really going through something, and this is their only outlet of like release or them being themselves. And you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I've seen so much where I've seen, you know, I've seen people who like, for instance, I've seen where people have copied what someone else says and puts it in their own way. And it's just like, that's, mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm into that. I do think that when, like, you create these shows and you create, you become somebody that's, like, in front of the camera or somebody that people look up to,
mm-hmm.
you have kind of an obligation to really be the person you present yourself to be. Because
yeah.
if you're not, then it gets kind of like, well, then where is it coming from?
Mm-hmm.
What's the end goal? What are you trying to do? You know?
Yeah.
A lot of times I've seen people who, like, I mean, for me personally, I've seen a lot of people, like, not a lot, I shouldn't say that, but I've seen people who have, like, used what I've said in interviews and, like, set and put it in their content or put it in their
yeah answers. And the fucked up part about that is like in some of those cases the person who actually said it might not have the same platform that the person who yeah. says it, so then that gets attributed to them.
Exactly.
And so it's like, well, I mean, that happens a lot where people mm-hmm. are like, they're when someone's fake, that they have to create an identity out of somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So then they pick and choose picking. From people's interviews or whatever it might be, or their style or their, let me tell you, it happens.
Yeah.
And it's so frustrating to watch when those people make it, or when those people make it to a, like a larger platform, and then to have those characteristics or those words attributed to them. It's so frustrating mm-hmm. because when they get into the public eye, then all of a sudden, because there's not as much representation as we wish there was, that ends up being the representation.
Exactly.
But it ends up being a distorted version of representation. So it's like, yeah, what you're saying is yes, but who's saying it is, that's not the right person.
Exactly.
And it's like, that wasn't actually your experience. So I see where you're, what you're saying.
Yeah, if you're not trying to put people on a pedestal, like if you're trying to uplift the community and see yourself in somebody, make sure that the person you see yourself in is really who they say they are. There's
Ooh.
A lot of the girls who mm-hmm. pretend, you know, because they want to get ahead or because they see that that works for somebody. So let me try doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, speaking for me personally, I really put my head down and just went to work. You know what I mean? Like people can come up to me and tell me that what I'm saying isn't true, what I'm saying isn't authentic, because it's really me. They're
yeah.
my thoughts, they're my words,
yeah,
they're my ideas, they're my clothes,
and like, your experience
and my experience. And like, I don't talk about anything that doesn't speak to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I don't know, I really do think that the community really should focus on, like, if I'm talking to the Latin community, we should really focus on having people in positions that open doors, and if you're going to give them that opportunity, make sure you know who you're rooting for, you know, because there's a lot of people I don't want to say.
I won't say names, but yeah.
And it's very frustrating because, see, like, I know people who can really sing, and I know people who can really dance, and I know people who can really do certain things. And growing up in the hood, I'm sure we all know people like that too, who you see so much potential in them,
mm-hmm.
but because they don't see it in themselves because of the way where we live and how we
grew
up.
Under circumstances,
yeah,
yeah.
Like they just fade away and
mm-hmm.
go into something else, or they
fade into the background when they're
yeah.
actually meant to be a star.
Exactly. And
yeah.
then you see somebody who is, you see that, you know, they're not really who they say they are, but they see this person has all this potential and they're
mm-hmm.
not really, so they're like, okay, I like this about them,
yeah.
and I like what they're saying, I'm gonna use it.
Yeah,
and
there's a fine line between being inspired by someone and stealing their shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know? And then that's where it feels bad, because I, you know, growing up here in East LA, and even as like early as like 10 years ago, like, I know a lot of people who I saw so much potential in, like, that I thought, man, if they were just noticed by the right person, if they only saw what I see in them, man, this girl's stunning, she could be a model, like, oh my god, this guy is so handsome, he could be a model, you know, things like that. Or, oh my god, my friend Sandy, like, she could really sing, but they don't see it for themselves because they've never seen anybody like them do it, you know? And then now we're at a place where you can really, if you want to go after something, you can probably get it. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Because, like, of social media.
Yes. And so now it's like, right now is the time to really look into people and see who they really are and if they're really about it. You know, I just can't stand when people post like fucking captions and they don't even, they're trying to speak in Spanish and their like grammar's so wrong. I'm just like, girl, just write in English. We know you don't know Spanish. Just stop. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, things like that just like irk me. But yeah.
And you're saying that because there's like a benefit to, there's, because I guess being Latino is fashionable right now.
Yeah.
100%. And so to like lean into, see, that's the thing. So that's something too. Like, my Spanish has never been great. But one thing I would not try to pretend is that I have been speaking Spanish my whole life. Mm-hmm. Like, there are some things about me that you cannot, it's indisputable. She's Chicana. Yeah. But then there's parts of me that's like, well, I also never explored Mexico like that. That was my first trip. Like, there are things that are just true about you that don't have to mean that you're any less Latina.
Exactly.
You know, because my experience as a Chicana growing up in Pasadena and Northeast LA, that still is my experience. My blood is still my blood, regardless if it upsets someone else because they don't feel that I'm Latina enough or anything like that.
And then also, like,
but pretending to be something you're not is a whole different story. Yeah. And that's what I think we're speaking directly to, is when people will take parts, will create a personality that is marketable.
Mm-hmm.
But that personality is completely false
and fabricated. And I'm not even trying
to created strategically.
Yeah, exactly. For a purpose, for personal gain. And like, what I'm saying is like, I'm not even coming at the people who don't know Spanish or anything like that. But what I'm saying is like, whatever person you are,
be that.
Mm-hmm. Don't add on to it thinking that that's what people are gonna like, that's what's gonna get you ahead. No, it'll get you ahead for maybe a little bit,
yeah,
but eventually, especially right now, people want the real deal.
Yeah,
you know, they don't want somebody that's pretending to be this or that, you know. But then there's also people who know how to play that, so that's where it gets tricky.
Yeah, because then when you're because then you can see, because it's so frustrating when everyone can, ooh, and I wish there's, let's just not go into details, but when you know the truth about someone and everyone else can't see it yet, and you're like, oh, it's just frustrating, because it's like, what's, like, it just grosses you out, like, it's just like, ugh.
And then see, honestly, like,
and you never know, maybe they will or maybe they won't, you know, like, or they just go on the rest of their journey and everyone thinks they're the real deal, you know. And but either way, it's like, you have to just choose to let it go.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you just have to be like, yeah, because I know in the end that the real thing is the real thing, and that will win in the long term, you know. But like you said, yeah, it might pay off in the short term to, you know, fabricate your personality or create yourself a character. We talk about like being the main character. Like, no, there's bitches that really write their own scripts, like, that's a different story. Main character energy is not actually writing yourself a script and getting a wardrobe stylist so that you can fit into an identity that you never belonged to.
You know, and that's the thing too. I'm so glad you said that, because there have been times when I've been to, showed up to group shoots, and there's people that I work with and I'm just like, this is who I am. Like, how I walked into this set, I mean, into this studio with you, this space, this is how I am walking down the street. This is how you'll catch me at Food for Less. This is how you'll catch me in the club. This is how you'll catch me anywhere. You know what I mean? Why do I see you put, like, some of these guys dress up like, you know, like they're banging, kind of. And then,
because it's a costume,
and it's drag, basically, you know what I mean?
That's true. Straight drag,
you know? Yeah, straight drag, because I'm just like, I see y'all pull up to the set and you're in your Telfar bag and your shorts and you know, regular
but sneakers. You fit the, you know, and that's the thing, because you know, when it comes to like casting calls and stuff, they'll like specific that some of them casting call like descriptions are really foul, like mm-hmm. they'll be like, we want the whatever, like I know you probably know better than me, but I know that they'll be like kind of racist with the descriptions yeah. of what they want, like, and so people will go dressed up as that sometimes, right? Is that what you mean?
No, I mean like they give off this persona that they're this person, you know, dresses a certain way, lives a certain lifestyle, and then I see you when we pull up on shoots that we have all have to work together. And you're not that girl. Like, you're not that person. Mm-hmm.
You're not that girl either.
Like, you're in a purse, but all over IG, you're like this big old tough guy. You know what I mean? And that's okay. But what I'm saying at is, like, again, like, be you, girl. And I wouldn't have a problem with these things. Like, I'm not here to be like, I'm nobody to tell you this is the way to do it and this is the only way. You know, people can people can be who they want to be and live how they want to live.
Yeah.
But when I see it start to be like something where they're starting to take things from me and like take things that I say and use that, that's when it gets ugly. Because honestly, like, you can try and dress like me, go for it.
Well, I can give you the recipe, but the sauce is not going to taste the same. Yeah,
you know, but that's where it's personal to me, because these are my thoughts. These are my experiences that I'm talking about. And these are really like, just me thinking freely, and that's what I've done. Like, for instance, like just me getting on a piece of paper and writing something about how I feel about anything or my point of view about something has probably gotten me a lot of work, you know? Mm-hmm. And so when I see that people are biting from that and using it, and like, and then I see you in person and your attitude's kind of salty, I'm just like, girl, you know, don't forget where I'm from. Like, don't let this beautiful face fool you.
if we need to get active, we could get active.
You know, like, I mean, just because, you know, don't let it fool you. Just because I come from, like, you know, you see this really well put together person. I assume that's how people see me.
It is.
Okay.
Confirmed.
Then don't, like, I'm not a punk, and you can't just be talking crazy to me like that or acting funny with me, because I match the energy. Yeah. And I can get aggressive, like, how do I put it? We just don't need to take it there.
Put it like this. I laugh, I joke, but I don't play.
Yeah, basically. You know, so, I mean, I didn't even mean to go off on a whole tangent about that. It's just like,
that's what this podcast is for.
Okay, perfect.
Tangents. Yeah, it's going to be called the Millennial Tangent Podcast.
I really do, like, see you know, when I started doing this, I really did. If you read what I say, like in my interviews and stuff, when I was barely starting, like I really was, you know, I wanted, obviously these are things that I've always wanted to do, but the way I go about them now is like, they're not, like, I don't see it just for me. Like when I first started, it was really just about, I wanted people to see brown boys like me and the boys that I grew up with. The boys that live in this neighborhood and everywhere, like every brown boy, you know, like I wanted them to be seen with beauty. Mm-hmm. Add that to whatever you see us. If you're gonna see us as a fucking this or that, honey, we're stunning. No, but you know what I mean? Period. Like, you know, like not even just like, oh, look at us with beauty, but beauty is such a big word. Like, I wanted us to be seen as a well-rounded human being, you know, a group of people, not just like
yes, there are lowriders, and yes, there are cholos, but bitch, there's also Vogue cover models, so get it right.
And even that person that's a cholo, like, you know, has probably a cousin like me,
exactly,
you know, who, you know, goes out for, you know, and is this person. What I'm trying to get at is like, this, I really do hope that, like, what I'm trying to say, like, transmits through and like it gets to, I make sense, but it's just like, it's hard to say, like, how do I put it, like right now how you said, like, you like, yes, we're low riders and all those things, yeah, like, you know, I grew up with that too, like, that's a big part of me too, and I think that's what's helped me too, is that I can be kind of masculine and feminine, you know. And it just like, I'm
gravitate. It's about the end.
Yeah.
It's not the period after what, you know, it's like they think that it's a one dimensional neighborhood.
And that's how you have to be.
Yeah.
Know? And it's like, it's not like for me, I can't tell you that I'm fully this or I'm fully that. Like, I really bounce off from one after, like one or the other. Like, when I'm not shooting, like, I'm a pretty active person. Like, I box, I run, I stay active, like, you know, things like that. I'm athletic, you know, I like that. When I'm at home, I do all the yard work, you know.
Multidimensional.
Like, yeah, like, you know, it's very much like I'm every...
Every woman.
Every woman, yeah.
Shout out to Whitney.
Yes.
Oh no, I hear you. I definitely hear you. And it, because of that, because of how multidimensional you are and the fact that you can be in every room and still be your entire full self, it's frustrating to witness or to be bitten off of because of that, you know, because it's like, no, this is my actual real experience. Mm-hmm. And you have taken it like it was a t-shirt from Forever 21, okay, and put it on like if it was yours, and that's not the truth for you, and that's frustrating for us to sit back and watch, you know. But I think at the end of the day, when it comes down to that topic, it's like, you just gotta let go and let God, and yeah. and the chips will fall where they may, you mm-hmm. know. And usually that's in the advantage of those people who remained authentic from day one. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's not, and that shit is frustrating, yeah, when it happens for them.
You know, it's also like, I mean, and if they get whatever they get it for yourself, get it, girl. But yeah. What I'm saying, this, like, my career is very personal to me. Like, I don't have kids, I don't have a husband, I don't have, like, you know, I don't have anything. I mean, I have my parents that I take care of, but, like, what I'm trying to get at is, like, this career is something that I created for myself, and mm-hmm. it's just based off of, like, doing whatever the fuck speaks to me. Like, modeling isn't the only thing I want to do, and it's not the only thing I can do. There's so mm-hmm. many things I can do. But what I'm saying is, like, this career has become kind of like my baby, and it has given me kind of like a pulse. And every single time I get to do something where it involves it in any shape or form, like doing this podcast or anything, like, it's exciting for me.
Yeah.
And so of course I get a little bit like, you know, not emotional, but just like, what the fuck is the word?
A territorial kind
yeah, of? Yeah, I guess. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, very much territorial about me, you know, and mm-hmm. my thing.
Protective.
Yeah, because it really is my, like, baby. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really just like what I created for myself. So, yeah. I'm all new to this. Like, you guys are forgetting, like, I come from, like, growing up, I was a street vendor with my mom and dad and my brother. Like, you know, like, when we were selling flower arrangements and we were selling whatever food or anything like that. So I come from, and then my parents' generation, like they come, my dad used to work in the campo. My mom, my grandma had where my mom's from in Michoacán, my grandma used to have a stand at this Laguna. Mm-hmm. And she was like the snack bar lady, basically. And so, like, everything is new to me, and I have to, like, learn to adjust to everything. So, like, situations like this, how to handle them, where, like, people are biting off of you and you don't know how to really take it. You know what I mean?
For sure.
It's all just like, it's just, I've sat back and thought about my career, and it's all been just really one big, like, improvisation, I guess. Like, when they asked me to model, I've never really took full-on training. I mean, I was trained by Ford models when I was younger to walk, but that's really it, you know, like, and they just told me little things that, like, they gave me the bare minimum.
Little tips here and there.
And even the stuff that they taught me, like, I don't even walk like that, honestly. Like, no, that's not true. I did stick with some things, but things that they taught me specifically, like, they say, oh, men don't pivot on the runway. I'm just like, bitch, I pivot.
Pivot. Watch me. Oh, she bought the fan up. Because, see, it's like, it's getting really hot. It is, how many degrees is it right now? Let's find out. It is currently...
Enough to bring out the diva fan.
Yes, because we don't sweat, we glisten. I was just reading the Michelle Visage book, like, because, okay, so one of my jobs is I take care of Molly, who is, she has Down syndrome, and so I'm her caregiver. So, like, one of her favorite places in the world to go and spend hours is at the library. And I'm not a reader, like, of books, like, the book is in my hand and I'm sitting there and reading it. I'm audiobook person. So, but I'm there. So I'm just like, well, look, and I found the book, Diva Rules by Michelle Visage. I was like, if I'm going to read a book, I'll read this one. And I love it. It's so good. It's 81 degrees right now. We are live from Boyle Heights and it's hot as fuck. We're also in a room in Espacio where we have a brand new air conditioner. But if we turn it on, then you guys can't hear us. So it's just, look, we have to make it work. So we're sweating our way through this conversation to bring you some inspiration, to bring you some light.
Giving you guys heat.
Yes, we're giving heat and it's giving us back a lot. But I want to switch a little bit the conversation and go to, because earlier we were talking about, you know, how it has been a while since I got on the mic. Uh-huh. And how I've been, like, I struggle with, you know, I'm bipolar. So I literally will have ups and downs and they'll last. And I'll, when I'm on an up, I feel unstoppable. You know, like, I feel like, okay, this is, I'm doing this and I can keep doing this. And I have this momentum and the first podcast gets me to the next, gets me to the third, gets me to the fourth. And then something will happen in my life that will trigger me and it will just, I'll spiral. And it'll take me a while to get back up. And I have tried to be kinder to myself in those times and not, like, self-blame or, like, basically beat myself up for not recording when I get like that, you know? And that's really hard because I will automatically compare myself to other people who have podcasts or, like, see how she's a man. They're in there every week and they have people that help them. And it just makes me... If I let my thoughts do that, I will be really mean to myself, you know, and, like, self-compare, compare and despair. That's what they call it. Like, just compare myself to the next person and what they're doing when it's when I think about who I am and I think about my purpose on this earth, it's impossible to compare to anyone else's. It's impossible. All of ours are like that.
Right.
You know, and you also spoke a little bit about how you kind of have a similar experience of having ups and downs. Do you want to talk a little bit about that and how you find the courage to keep going? You know, because this podcast is really, as much as it is about having fun, the most thing I want to do is inspire the listeners, and I want them to know that they're not alone, and that even the most fabulous people you see on Instagram struggle, and I want them to feel seen and heard too.
Yes, I suffer and enjoy. No, I'm just kidding.
For sure.
No, but yeah, I mean, 100% ride the wave like you do. There's times where, like, I feel like I can do it all, you know, and then exactly how you said it, you know, like, something happens and then it's just like a whole spiral of just like, oh my God, getting out of it, you know.
Yeah.
Because it, once you feel like yourself is slacking off or you feel like you're not yourself, then it becomes about how to get back to that.
Yeah.
You know, and then that's where the weird, like, gray area is, like, it's like that's the hard part, is getting back to how you used to feel. And honestly, I don't even know if I'm like how do I put it, I just know how I get through it and I know how I feel about things. I think for a lot of people who come from like, maybe rocky childhoods or just like there was issues going on in the house, things like that, a lot of us suffer from things like that, like anxiety, bipolar, things like that,
depression,
there you go. For me, it just, like, for me it gets a lot, like, the way I operate, like, at home, when I'm not doing things for my career, then I'm just basically like a house husband. Like, I'm just cooking and cleaning and taking care of my mom and dad, and I even call them my two kids. To come from somebody, to be somebody who was, like, really just trying to live their life and get, like, figure themselves out, then being the pandemic happened, and then seeing that your parents need you more than they did before, And of course you have to be there for them. At least that's the way I took it. It just, you know, it's been one journey, let's put it like that, of being a go-getter and also having, like, learning to slow down because I need to take care of somebody,
mm-hmm.
two somebodies. And then, so when I'm going in full force with whatever I want to do, and then I slow down because I take care of my mom and dad. And then when that happens,
when you say you take care of them, like, you mean physically, are they sick or are you just like help with the house?
Well, all three.
Yeah.
Like, so my mom has health issues with, like, she's diabetic, she has high blood pressure, and she has high cholesterol.
And my dad was diabetic too.
Yeah. And so, you know, that whole disease, like, it hits everyone individually, you know, and it's just like, it's crazy what things like that can do to you and your body and your daily functions and things like that. Mm-hmm. And then my dad is on dialysis and he has high blood pressure and he's older. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just like, I think realizing, like, you know, I have all these things I do for them because I love them. That just adds, that's what makes it easy for me, is doing it because I love them.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff that I do, like, it
just... What about when you're down and you're having to do, like, you know, like, when you're in a situation like that, it's almost like, it's similar to having kids. It's like, sometimes when parents that have depression, like, they don't even have time to have depression because they mm-hmm. have to get done what they have to get done. So it's like, it can add another layer of a barrier rather than to like feeling better when you are feeling down.
I honestly, like, how I'm telling you, like, I don't even know if I'm honestly like somebody who should even be giving advice about this, because I just know how I get through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really just push myself. Like, I really, really, really just know that, like, I sit back in my backyard a lot and I just, like, sit there and light, you know, a little herbal refreshment and just, like, think and really think about the next thing that I have to do and just center myself and do that.
Yeah.
And try to, you know, get through it. And if I have to take a break because for whatever reason I have to, then I take a break and then I go back into it.
Yeah.
And if I have to do it, like, finish tomorrow, then, but I just keep at it. You know, I just... Mm-hmm. Even little progress to finish one thing is still progress, as opposed to just knowing that you have to do something and you feel like you can't and you don't.
Yeah.
You know, and then that just, it stays like that. But mm-hmm. at least even just like, I don't know, for instance, like if I have to clean the house, but I know I have to go home and do this, and I know I have to go and do that for my mom and dad, and I know I have to go do this. Okay, well, I didn't get to fucking scrub the floor and everything and all that today. Okay, but I at least picked up the living room.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I picked up the laundry. Yeah. No, that's a big point. That's a really big point. Because the, like, okay, there's, like, a law of like, some science shit. Like, movement creates more movement.
Uh-huh.
So even if it's the smallest action, you know, like, it's, like, that is... Because when people are like, okay, well, how do I do this? How do I get out of it? And it's literally is, if your task is, like, to clean the house and you don't have the fucking energy in your body that you can't even make yourself basically mm-hmm. shower or whatever it might be, then if you could get all the cups out of your room tonight.
Exactly.
Just get all the cups, because I know, bitch, I know you got cups in your room, okay? On the windowsill, half drinking water, whatever juice
get
or whatever.
All the water bottles out of your bed.
When you're in your depression room, just focus on one of the things that's like one of the million problems that you see around you. And if you could just get the trash tonight, girl, by tomorrow morning you're like, okay, well, maybe tonight I can get the cups.
Exactly.
You know, and so it's like those littlest steps, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
I've also noticed that, like, when I'm not taking care of myself, like, my next question is gonna be, how do you know when you're getting bad again? Like, when I'm getting bad again, like, again, I look around my room and I have stopped grocery shopping, I have stopped hiking,
mm-hmm.
I have stopped journaling, I have stopped doing all of the things that, like, Jay-Z says, you have to run this hard just to stay in place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have stopped doing all the things that essentially is me running, you know, like, because it's like we're balancing all these balls at the same time, and when you drop one of them, all of the rest, like, your coordination goes. Wow. You know. Yeah. And you drop them all, and so when you've dropped all the balls, like, picking them up one by one is really the only way.
100%.
Yeah.
That's really the only way. I mean, at least for me, like I said, that's what I found that's helped me, is like even just like the smallest step towards the big step helps, you know?
Big time.
How do I put it? Another thing too, I'm very much the kind of person that is very comfortable with being alone with themselves and can be like, I look forward to when I'm out, like it, and it's funny because that we're talking about this, because I really had this like realization the other day when I was out with like friends. I shouldn't be saying this, but I really was out once, and then I just remember thinking like midway through the night, I'm just like, fuck, I can't wait to go home and just like kick back in my backyard, yeah,
and be alone
and just like smoke something and be on, because what I like to do is I like to just do what I like to do when I'm with myself. So I like to watch whatever I like to watch, whatever I find interesting, whatever like sparks creativity in me. That's where I have the most fun. Like, I guess it's researching, but it's more so just like coming back to me, you know? And so all my favorite things, I'll get into that. And that gives me motivation to just go and do something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like watching, oh my God, I don't know how many times I've like gotten motivation just from watching Rocío Dúrcal perform, or like Juan Gabriel, you know, things like that. Yeah. Like, because you know the kind of person I am, I live for drama and I live for glamour and I live for like all the extravagance that they give and, you know, and the feelings that they give. So things like that like really motivate me, and like because I'm really that girl, like I really do love those things. I would say if you have struggles with like moving forward or moving through with your like the anxiety or depression or all those things that, you know, hold us down and we didn't ask for them, they just came to us.
Yeah.
You know, I would say is the littlest things that you can do to take the step, to take the big step, is what would help. Like the littlest steps to take will take you to the next step.
Mm-hmm.
And also be fully, give yourself enough time to just be with yourself and do what you want to do and listen to the things you like to listen to, watch the things you like to watch, because you get back to feeling like yourself.
Yeah.
And then you're good to go, at least for me, you know. Yeah. That's like
you kind get of back to yourself, and that, yeah. Because my whole thing is I started, I don't know if I told you about my, I have like a workshop series called Season of Self. And I've been doing this since summer of 2019.
Oh, wow.
And it started in my front yard, where I would just invite people and they would come and we would do writing workshop, right? So we started doing them, and I did them all through the pandemic and now after. And at one of my friend's events for Brown Girl Travels, something happened with the scheduling where me and her other friend, who does sound healing, we had no choice but to combine our workshops. So just by chance we did that, and it was like the best workshop I ever did. I was like, whoa, what was that, you know? Because it's usually powerful, but this one was like something different. It was way more impactful, I felt. And so I invited her to come and do this series of workshops with me. And so I had this very ambitious idea at the beginning, before summer even started. I'm like, I'm going to do this amount of workshops, and I'm going to, but I knew that it was like ambitious for me. But then when I reached a point where I was really struggling with my mental health, I was like, I don't know how I'm going to get through. Like, I don't even know how I'm going to do the next one, let alone all the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to feel very like defeated. Like, why did I even sign up for this? Why did I do this to myself? Why did I? And I ended up canceling one workshop. And after I canceled that workshop, I made my best effort to cancel it with love and not with disappointment for myself. Like, I was canceling it, not because I didn't think I could do it, but I knew that if I tried to do it, it would not be a good workshop because of the mental space I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And so I canceled it. I like intentionally canceled it out of love, as opposed to where before I would have canceled it out of anger at myself, you know? And so doing that, like being kind enough to myself to say, hey, you know what, you can do everything. And that just because you cancel one doesn't mean you're canceling all the rest of them. You're canceling this one so that you can do the rest
of them.
Exactly. You know? And so finding that compassion and that kindness for myself in a time where typically I would have like been mean to myself and been like, of course, like, of course you couldn't do it, you know, or just you start to be that like mean version of yourself. And, you know, with these workshops, the last one that I just did was connecting with yourself and the intro to your inner voice. And one of the best ways to, so my theory on self-love is this: you can't love yourself until you like yourself, but you can't like yourself until you know yourself. Mm-hmm. And so the getting to know, like, that is everything. Getting to know yourself is everything, because like, it's very simple to say, oh, well, you just have to love yourself. Okay, bitch, how? It's like, get to love myself. I don't even know if I like myself, let alone know myself to like myself, to love myself. Like, it's a whole process. And so I tried to like break that down and give my understanding of it. And in the workshop, we had Liz, who was doing the sound bath. And what I love about these workshops is that they're teaching me to let go and to also trust my own inner wisdom. Mm-hmm. Because I don't prepare too much. I prepare the general idea of what I want to talk about. And it usually has something to do with a story that I can tell from my life about how I learned this lesson. But I'm not teaching you anything. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you what I did in order to figure this out, and asking you some questions, and you get to write about it in your journal. And then, so it's like we're self-healing in community. Mm-hmm. And so in this, when it was her turn, because we kind of would like go back and forth, and when it was her turn to do her sound bath healing, she was doing like a meditation, and it just took over. She was doing it, she was talking, and then I started talking, and in it I was like, I want you guys to picture yourselves, but strip away every single relationship you have to anyone else. You're no longer a mom, you're no longer a wife, you're no longer a girlfriend, you're no longer a daughter, you're no longer a friend. Like, you, who are you, like, cutting off all of these other relationships you have to other people. And that's the hard part. Mm-hmm. It's like really getting to know who you are. But the best way and the only way to do it is, like you were saying, is to spend time with yourself. Mm-hmm. To where you get to a point where you're out with people and you're like, you're not dreading going home and being by yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, you're actually looking forward to it, because you've gotten to a point where not only do you that's an act of love, but you like being by yourself. Mm-hmm. Because you like yourself. And that is a place where people want to get to. So talk to me about getting to that point, like getting to know yourself, you know, how have you done that? I know you've done a lot of travel, spending time alone.
Oh, honestly, I didn't even know that was a place people wanted to get to. I mean, it makes 100% sense the way you said it. Yeah, you know, when I see that, my whole life has just been like a whole, how do I put it? Like, the way things have panned out, if I were to like tell y'all, write a book and have it be a movie, it just may be like a whole fantasy. Like, it wouldn't even make sense. So, I mean, for me, because the background that I come from, like, I come from, you know, I don't have an easy childhood. I don't have an easy background. Like, I didn't, you know, like, for most people, too. Like, most people don't come from money. They don't come from parents who loved each other and only showed love.
Yeah,
you know
perfect,
what I mean?
Healthy.
Yeah, you know? I'm sure a lot of people that are probably are listening to this can relate to the fact that, you know, we come from disadvantaged backgrounds, you know, and so I think that's where the healing comes from. There's been honestly, like, you just have, like, for me, there have been so many times where I'm right there crying by myself and nobody even knows, and it's fine, because you need to let all that out, you know. Yeah. You really need to think about the things that have happened to you. But it's all with the perspective you give yourself. Like, if you look at yourself as look at yourself as your past self, when you were a little boy, when you were, you know, a chamaco, to when you were a teenager, to when you were a young adult, to wherever you are now, look at all those boys, all those persons with love. And
all the versions of you.
Yeah, and understand them, and like understand why they did the things that they did, why they were a certain way, you know, because it really is just like learning to love yourself it really is like the greatest thing you can do for yourself. Like mm-hmm. it starts with you, you know, like for me, I have spent so much time just really by myself, really thinking about everything that's gone on in my life and like the things that bring me down and things that make me sad and all those things, and just like trying to understand them or just like feeling them. Even if I don't understand them, at least I feel them and mm-hmm. I know where the feeling, you know?
Yeah.
All of that. Really, I think that's where it starts, is like looking back at yourself and try to learn to love the person you were, and also realize that even having these thoughts of like wanting to be better, wanting to do better for yourself, and like it's such a vast improvement that you mm-hmm. have no idea, because the person that you were probably back then couldn't even think of these thoughts.
Yeah,
they were so stuck on the person that they were, the negative perspective that they had because of the life they had, you know what I mean? Like I always, like whenever I realize that I'm having these thoughts or I forget, like, you know, how good things have turned out recently, like I always go back to that, like just being fully self-aware of like knowing that like things were much harder back then. Mm-hmm. I didn't, and the stuff that happened to me back then was hard, and I didn't know how to like handle it either, so I reacted a certain way and I was a certain way. And so fully that, I think it is just like reflecting on yourself and who you've been and why were you that person.
Yeah, trying to understand yourself, because when yeah. when you give yourself, when you understand anything, you are automatically more compassionate.
Exactly.
Like you could hear a headline of a story, right? And then you hear the headline and it's like you feel one way, then you read the story and you feel another way, mm-hmm. because now you understand the headline, and you like give you end up giving yourself the same compassion once you take the time to get to know yourself, you know? Mm-hmm. And that audit, that means, like you were talking earlier about like those things that we're given that we didn't want, like it's almost like extra baggage that yeah. we carry,
you know that song Bag Lady by Erykah Badu? Exactly. She's talking about some things. She's not talking about a Coach bag. She's yeah. talking about no grocery bag. She's talking about real yeah. things, you know?
Emotional baggage. Yeah. Yes.
Very that.
Dude, it's true, because, you know, once we get to unpack, that's why it's called unpacking, mm-hmm. you know? Because what you got to unpack some of that stuff, and you see what's in there, and yeah. you're like, oh, this is where this came from. This is where that came from. And once yeah. you start to, like, put the puzzle pieces together, you're like, my mom and NA, all of, I grew up in the Narcotics Anonymous community with parents who were addicted. And they would say that, you know, your wound is not your fault, but your healing is your responsibility. Mm-hmm. Because you can either choose to keep carrying that shit around the rest of your life, and, you know, you're going to struggle. You could do it, but you're going to struggle. Or you can choose a life of ease mm-hmm. and unpack it once and for all. And, you know, say, all right, I don't need any of this shit anymore.
Yeah. And it's also like, I sit a lot and reflect, and I think about a lot of things. But also like, I don't hate the struggle that I'm at or the journey that I've had, you know? I really do think that it's fully shaped me into who I am. And because of the things that I've been through, the stuff that I don't talk about or probably never will, like things like that, on top of the like morals and everything that my mom and dad taught me, made me the person who I am today. It gives me a certain outlook, it gives me a certain calmness with myself, because I know I can really handle most things, you know? Like I've seen things that have happened to me that I know for some other people can really break them or really hurt them, and I, you know, I don't know, is there something in me that just keeps pushing me forward, you know?
Hope.
Yeah, it
yeah,
really
you
is.
Don't, because you know, when you can't let your hope die. Mm-hmm. That was one of the pieces of information or pieces of wisdom that my dad really, really left with me. And it was like, no matter what happens, like the worst thing in the world could happen to you, and you cannot, well, the one thing you can't do is let your hope die. Mm-hmm. You can't let it take that, because when your hope is gone, you've lost everything. Mm-hmm. Because you could be at the lowest point in your life, but if you still have hope that things could get better, then you still have something to live for. Mm-hmm. But when you lose your hope, that's it.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can't allow yourself to be robbed of that. Mm-mm. Like there's a quote like your circumstances, like I was about to say something really deep and then I forgot the whole quote. I'm dead. and then that was it. And then let me get a hot Cheeto. I fucking forgot. But I love talking to you.
I love talking to you too.
I do. Because it's like I feel like I understand you and you understand me. Mm-hmm. And it's like really, I don't know. It's like there's a therapeutic element to conversations like that, you know, mm-hmm. where you feel like someone's listening to you, you know, that's really special.
And they're not just like, you know, when you become somebody like kind of like a public figure, you're just around the scene and you meet so many people. When you actually meet somebody who is actually trying to talk to you and not talking to you for like a personal gain or is talking to you to respond to you but not to like understand you or listen to you, you know what I mean? I think that's where, you know, it gets tricky. But yeah, like with you, it's just easy to talk to. It feels like I'm talking to one of my homegirls.
Yeah, and we are going to Chela's across the street after this.
Yes, we are. So...
You know,
a little round of tequila shots. We have to do something.
We need to. I feel like this is a victory for me personally. Oh, and like that. Just to even get back in here, because I was feeling, you know, I felt I will allow myself to feel like upset and like pushed down and all that stuff. But I will never let myself be defeated mm-hmm. by it. And that's the hope. That's that hope part. That's this like the little flicker of hope that still exists in there. It's like I knew I wanted to get back on the mic. I knew I was going to. I didn't know when because the motivation part was lacking. Mm-hmm. But when you allow, like, when you don't just let things pass you by, you know, like, it's not a coincidence that you were like, hey, let's get back in. I'm like, you know what? I could have been like, ah, oh, not, you know, or nothing, you know? Mm-hmm. But I was like, this has got to be it because I really want so badly to not stay there. You know, sometimes when you're rebuilding yourself and when you're like coming back from like a dark place or an episode or whatever you want to call it, you can get stuck in the rebuilding mm-hmm. phase. So then you're constantly like looking at yourself as, oh, I'm rebuilding. So I'm not ready yet. But sometimes you just have to jump in.
Exactly.
You know, and it can be the smallest thing. But it's similar to when we were talking about getting out of your depression room. It's like, just pick up the cups today, mm-hmm. you know?
Little
and
steps.
So we're back. Exactly. And I might not be back next week or the week. Who knows? I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep showing up to my life and allowing myself to continue answering the call because it's this podcasting I know has gone way farther than I thought it was. Mm-hmm. I never really thought that I would get to a point where I feel now like I don't get paid for this, but I feel like it's my job because I feel like I'm answering like the role that I'm supposed to play on the earth when I have these conversations because I know that they inspire people and that's the highest form of being alive, mm-hmm. I think, in my opinion, you know, to like make other people feel good.
Exactly. Like it's a life of service. You mm-hmm. know? You're giving back when you're given so much.
Yeah.
Or given something, you give back.
Yeah. And then we double it, you know? Mm-hmm. That's how we double it. Yeah. So I feel like we're coming to the end of our conversation because it's time to go get some treats.
Yes.
But thank you for being back on the Millennial Mia podcast. Okay, so before we go, is there any upcoming stuff that you can talk about that you're excited about?
I can talk. Oh, I don't know if I can talk about that either.
It's all these NDAs, bitch. Okay,
they really are, girl. They do come for the people.
Yes.
So I can't say. Look for me on a TV screen soon. But it's like it's not nothing. You'll see.
Whatever. I just want you on the TV screen. Big, small, whatever. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, how exciting.
Representing East LA.
And I hope I'm doing y'all doing good for y'all because I really do take this seriously, like the platform that I'm given, you mm-hmm. know. I really was just somebody that felt the need to create That was what really pushed me, and like it felt like a pulse, and it feels like a pulse even stronger now.
Yeah.
And so to see, like, to really be at a place now where it's like, whoa, like the things that I really was trying for, I have them now.
Yeah.
Or I'm working towards them now, fully.
Mm-hmm.
It's just crazy to see the change, because I fully was somebody who did not have it together for a really long time, who was struggling hard. And I see, that's the thing too, like, I don't fully, like, I don't go into, like, I don't, I'm not, I've never seen a therapist or a psychiatrist, none of those things, but speaking with, like, with you or another friend who I see that they, you know, you guys have names for them, and, you know, certain situations, they have a reason and a purpose. That helps me out too.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, I'm really much the kind of person who is like, oh, I don't have time for therapy, but I know that I need to change that. And that's something I'm going to work on, because I've really just been pulling myself up out of the hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's been something, it's something that I've started doing like in 2020.
Like, well, it seems like self-healing comes naturally to you, but it will, it can only help when you hear, like, the things that you do, like, that you hear them validated by somebody and they tell you, oh, well, yes, you developed this as like a coping mechanism, but this is why it helps you. It's like, it's what you're talking mm-hmm. about, getting to know yourself and understanding yourself gives you like so much more power. And speaking to somebody that's a professional that can like talk back to you, like, it just helps you understand yourself exactly. more, which is just more tools in your toolbox.
Mm-hmm. You know, and yeah, I know we're gonna get off, but I just wanted, now that we're talking about this, I really do want to say something. See, like, for something that has really pushed me to like seek help, I guess, is just like my eating patterns have always been a little crazy. You know, mm-hmm. I'm somebody who's always struggled with weight, and I've always had to be somebody who like really has to work out to like keep a certain figure, I guess, or keep a certain look. But I'm also blessed with the fact that I can lose weight fast. So I've always kind of fluctuated. And then now that I've been at a place now where my life is just moving so fast, meals have just, you know, for me, like, even sometimes when I cook for my mom and dad, but because I don't want to slow down, or I just feel like I'm not really hungry, I won't eat, you know. But, you know, so I really want to get fixed that, you know, like, that's something that I really want to focus on, because that's something that I've struggled with my whole life, basically. Yeah. I grew up, you know, a chubby kid, and then I was like a fat kid in school.
So like disordered eating.
Yeah, like, it's just like the eating has always been an issue with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's motivated me to get to seek, like, you know, help with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do think that I see it for myself too. Like, I know that that's an issue for me, and I know that that's something that I want to correct, and I don't want to keep struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
And also because I do want to be somebody that can just, you know, can whip up a meal like that for my mom and dad, you know, mm-hmm. not something that's like, okay, I only know how to make these certain things, and that's what we're going to make, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
I'm good at cooking. They eat my food. They like it. But I only know what I know how to make. Like, I'm not the kind of person that can just be like, oh, bitch, I watched Rachel Ray do this, and I'm going to go
try not myself. Rachel Ray, not her pozole, at least. You remember when the whole stuff was gone wild?
No, I haven't seen that. And, you know, Miss Rachel, pobrecita, she tried it with the pozole. I did see that.
Oh, Lord Jesus Christ.
I did see that, woman. But I didn't see when Fools Gone Wild posted it.
Oh, my God, it's so funny. No, but you know what? Eating has been is hard for me. I like will binge eat. Like, girl, I will like eat something and would do something at the same time. So yeah. If I'm like listening to something and I'll look down and be like, who ate my food?
You're like, did I just get fucked? Who ate this?
Who fucking ate my food? Like, it no, it wasn't me, because I didn't even feel it. Like, and yeah. That's scary to me. And uh-huh. So that I spoke to my therapist about that, and like, you know, it's like this I'm self-soothing. And the food that I choose to eat, it'll be this. It'll be salty or sweet.
Mm.
And it's like, I'm self-soothing. And so she's like, you've got to figure out what are you numbing? Because it's a form of numbing, you know? And so, like, just even stuff like that, it's like, you, like you said, you know, I know this about myself. I know that I want to fix this. But even me being like, hey, this is what I need to fix. Like, what's up with that? And then she gave me information about, like, what I was doing. So then it gave me information to be like, okay, I am snacking a lot right now and I just ate. So, like, what am I numbing? Like, asking myself that question, you know?
And that's how you grow, you know? See, and I don't know those things. Like, for me, it's just like, nope, I can't eat right now. I gotta go. Like,
yeah,
you know, okay, I should eat now because I haven't ate. Like, okay, fuck, you know? Like,
eating becomes a form of self-love, too, because what you're choosing to eat. And, like, green juices were the biggest thing for me. I never ate, drink that. Never drank that. But it was, like, when I started drinking it, I would, like, and it's, they're not nasty. They're just, like, not, it's not, like, hot Cheetos, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's, like, I'm giving, I will give myself, I'll get a green juice, and I'll say it, I'm giving you this because I love you. Mm-hmm. Because you haven't had, you haven't been eating vegetables or whatever, you know? Like, I'm giving this to you because I love you, because everything in here you need. And it, and I'm not giving it to you because you're trying to numb. I'm not giving it to you because you're trying to snack. Like, this, I'm solely giving you this because I love you. Mm-hmm. And, like, it changed my relationship, at least with things like that. Like, with, because I would be the first one to be person to be like, why are we going there? We could just go to In-N-Out, yeah, you know? But it's like, it's not the same thing. Like, feeding your body what you want versus feeding your body what it needs,
exactly,
becomes a different relationship with your body. Mm-hmm. Eating is a really big thing, like a really big,
psychological.
That
it is. It is very psychological, because the times that, like, trigger me to eat, it really is just something that, like, comes into my head, and I'm just like, okay, I'm hungry now.
Yeah.
And then it's like fucking 2-3 in the morning, and I'm eating the munchie meal by Jack in the Box.
Yeah. You're like, this is not sponsored, but
you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And then, like, when you choose to eat certain things, it's like you think you're being nice to yourself because you're giving yourself what you want, and then your body later tells you, oh no, you punished me by whatever, having a stomach ache or just feeling just like shit, you know? Like, your body's telling you a different thing, but your mind told you, oh well, I'm giving myself this because whatever, and it ends up being like a whole different thing.
And that's a whole spiral in itself. So that's why, like, you know, I am gonna work on that. And anyone who has issues with eating, believe me, it's a real thing. Because it's on, like, I didn't even know that it was like a real issue. I just thought, like, this is the way it is for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then I became more knowledgeable, and I'm just like, no, girl, you really should try and get some help to, like, calm these, like, almost like alerts or like flare ups of just like having to eat. The craziest things for no reason.
Yeah, well, it's called like disordered eating, because there's like having an eating disorder, which would be like bulimia, anorexia, all the ones that they call it. But then there's disordered eating, where it's like you don't ever eat the same way, because you're literally just emotionally eating.
Exactly.
And so that's where it becomes like, I need help with this. So it's really good that you're going in that direction of trying to figure it out, because most people go through their whole life and never examine themselves deeply enough to say, hey, these are the things that I'm struggling with that I want to change. You know, it's like this kind of autopilot thing. And that's what I feel our generation is like, nah.
We're trying to fix ourselves.
Yeah, we're really working on it. And that's something that I admire about all of us.
Yeah, it really is, like, I think what life really is about is kind of like education. Like, you learn so much about yourself, about who you are, where you come from, where you live, you know, everything around you. It's really all about learning from it and learning about you. You know, I feel that's where I'm at now.
Yeah.
Where I've been at.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. And this podcast is one place where people get to learn about the people that I have on here. But then also it forces people to learn about themselves, you know, because we end up hearing your interview and somebody is like, I can relate to a lot of that, you know, and that inspires me to want to learn more. And that's what I want this podcast to be. I also want it to be entertaining and fun. But for the most part, I want people to, when they turn this off, to feel heard, seen, and felt. And that's what I feel we did today.
Oh, I love that.
So tell us your Instagram again and where else we can find you.
Well, I mean, I only really have Instagram. I'm so bad. I'm like a senora.
No, that's enough.
My agents tell me I need to really do TikTok too. So for now, you can find me at Eliseo Equiua, ELISEOEQUIHUA. And yeah.
And that's where she'll be.
And presente. That's where I'll be presente.
So the next, so this, I do really feel like I got a charge of creativity and a charge of energy from doing this. So thank you from the bottom of my heart, because this really, I needed that, like, I needed to generate that energy and that, yeah, that,
thank you, Evan.
That charge. So my spark is back, guys. And
yes.
So I did do a podcast, but not an episode of the Millennial Miha podcast. I did a podcast with my friend Sammy Joe, who has a podcast called the Homegirl Fox podcast, which you definitely need to check out the latest episode. It's called Date Rape. There's part one and part two, and it's a girl sharing her story. And it's just extremely brave. And it took me a while to sit there and listen to it because I was scared, because I knew Sammy don't fuck around when she interviews. So I knew that I was like, okay, I got to mentally prepare myself for this, because it's like a hard topic. And she definitely didn't disappoint, and neither did the woman that she interviewed, who just got so honest, which is the hardest thing in the world to do. And I recently did an episode with her, with Sammy, and she was trying to get me to talk about what caused my spiral, my most recent spiral. And I I listened back to the episode, and I was just like shaking my damn head, like I really couldn't do it. I couldn't open up. I couldn't talk about it. And so that left me, I'm trying to be nice to myself about it too, like, you just weren't ready. But mm-hmm. hearing it back, and that gives me this like need to say, oh no, I'm not gonna let myself go out like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to redo that podcast with Sammy Joe, and I'm going to get honest. Mm-hmm. And I really want to talk about what caused my spiral and my, you know, bout of depression this time. And I feel like people can relate to it. You know, it has to do with toxic relationships 100%. And being, you know, just struggling. And I owe it to myself and to the people that listen and, you know, spend their time listening to my podcast to say the truth. So wish me luck, guys.
For sure, you're gonna get it.
I'm gonna do it.
Don't worry.
But this has been another episode of the Millennial Miha podcast, and I am so grateful for having you, Eliseo.
Yeah,
and now
I'm so happy to be here.
Let's go have a drink.
Yes.
It's the motherfucking Millennial Miha podcast.